The Lord wants to fill us up today. Go ahead and go back to your seat and be seated. I'm going to start. Thank you, musicians, singers. The Lord, somebody say, the Lord wants to fill us up today. Let me get right into it. Are you ready? Stay focused on the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. You can be seated. Thank you. There are good-hearted people in this place right now that you've got burdens, but you don't have power. And you're spent trying to take care of everybody else. And the Holy Ghost sent me here to tell you, you're serving on empty. And it is not wrong for you to get yours. You feel a demand on you. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord gave it to me. I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to preach very long, but let me just tell you. You can't give what you don't have. It is not selfish for you to get what you need. It is not selfish for you to run up to this front, dance and shout until you get what you need. You can't help anybody if you don't have what you need. You can't help anybody if you don't get what you need. It is not wrong, it's not demonic, and it's not far from God for you to put everything on hold, go to the church, and say, y'all going to have to hold on, excuse me. I'm not right, but I know a God that can save me, and I'm going to make sure I get mine right now. Because as soon as you get yours, then you can help anybody. You can help anything. But you got to learn when to pause and get what you need to get. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a certain lame man. He's lame from his mother's womb. And he was late, carried to the gate daily. He couldn't walk. He was lame. His legs didn't work. He looked at the men of God and said, hey, I need help here. And so he was like, Peter said, well, silver and gold have I none. But listen to what he said in Acts 3 and 6. But what I do have, I'll give it to you. You can only give what you have. See, Peter and John were able to give away something better than money. I'm going to tell you, there's something better than money that we need to be seeking for in this place right now. I don't care about the economy. God's going to take care of his people. There's something better than money I want to get today. I want to get the supernatural power of God living inside of me. I want more than money. Money's weak compared to God. The power of money is weak compared to what God is pouring out in this room right now. Don't you dare come to church saying, God, I got financial problems. God, that's something small for God. Come in this place and say, God, I want your spirit. I want your power. I want your supernatural, miraculous anointing on my life. Listen, y'all, they said we don't have money, but they weren't depressed about it. How many people do I know they'll think they've got power when they have no money? You don't even know how much God you've got until you've got no money. Having no money is one of the best places you could ever get in life. I've been there. I've had no money. When you have no money, you rely 100% on the power of God. You learn to pray when you have no money. You learn that God is greater than money. You learn that God can do more than money when you have no money. What the world needs is not money. It needs miracles. It needs signs. It needs wonders. It needs evidence of God's power. Lord, send me here to tell you, you're running on empty, and you're worried about family and friends. You're worried about your children and your parents and your aging parents, and you're worried about everybody around you. There's a lot of people in this room right now that you mean well. You've got a heart for God. You've got the second commandment down. The second commandment is to love your neighbor and to serve them and give to them. And there's so many Christians who try to help people, but you're running on empty. And that's why the second commandment is help your neighbor. The first is love God. Love God. The first is love God. The first is, excuse me, neighbor, I've got to go get God. Excuse me, neighbor, I got to get God. I don't want to help you, but I got to get God. I love you, but I want to get God. How could I help you if I can't help me? How could I help you if I can't get what I need? I know people call you rude, but maybe you're in a season where you've got to get God. Listen, the Lord's going to take care of your neighbor while you're getting God. Just like Jesus for 30 years didn't do miracles, he passed by people with cancer. I got to get mine first. There's an order to this. You have to make sure you and God are good first. You cannot rush in and start serving the whole world if you yourself are depleted. You will lose your own soul, and then you'll help nobody. If you don't put your walk with God first, if you don't put your time with God first, you can't help that marriage. You can't help them babies. You can't help your boss. I That's why I think that you ought to tell your boss, I can't work Sunday. You wouldn't want me if I worked on Sunday. If I miss getting fed in the Holy Ghost, I'd be a horrible employee. The only reason why you like me is because I went to church on Sunday. Only reason why you kept hiring me and paying me is because I've got ethics that my church puts into me. Tell your boss, trust me, you don't want me missing my walk with God. I can't help anybody unless the Lord first helps me. I got a word for you today. I want to tell you, if you're running on empty, stop it. Tell everybody you're going to have to hang on, make your own grilled cheese sandwich. I got to go to church today. All right, get dressed yourself. I can't bail you out financially. I have no money myself. It's not wrong for you to build your wealth first. I'm going to tell you why poor people are poor. Nobody stops trying to pay for everybody's broke down cars and get rich. If one of y'all would just stop and build wealth, you'd have generational wealth for the rest of your generations, and your grandchildren will be blessed. But you keep trying to rescue folks when you yourself aren't okay. Well, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to you? You keep spending everything and giving everything, you're going to always be depressed. Half of y'all are mad all the time because you do it to yourself. You spend yourself, you spend what you don't have. And you're hurt and mad and upset and tired, and your health is messed up, and you ain't got time for God or ministry, and you have no purpose. It's because you've got your second commandment as your first commandment. And it's not sustainable. And the Holy Ghost sent me here to tell you, it's not wrong to get yours. It's not wrong for a wife to look at her husband and say, I'm sorry, I'm not the woman of your dreams. But if you would just take me to church, if you would just get me into a prayer room, if you would just help me find Jesus, if I can love him, I can love you. Tell you, you're never going to get anybody in your life great, and if you keep skipping them away from church and tempt them not to walk with God, the longer you take the loved ones of your life and you don't let them serve God and push them to God, they'll have nothing to give you. You better never get mad at someone when they say, I just need to go pray. Let them pray. Yes, they do. Let them pray. I got to go to church. Yeah, I'll take you to church. I'll drop you off. Hey, you might be carnal, but the best thing you could do for someone is take them to church, because they can't help you if they can't love God. Y'all, we're all upside down in this crazy world and economy. We feel like we're trying to help everybody rescue everybody. People can't buy houses, and young people can't afford to live on their own. And people are struggling, and we're all having to rescue each other. But the problem is we're drowning too. And so now everybody's drowning together. And we don't learn our lessons because we don't understand that it's God that has to save people. And he has to start with me. And if God doesn't save me, I can't help anybody else. Are you putting more time into commandment number two than you are number one? Because you will eventually lose everything. If you get the order out of reverse, if you get it reversed and you get it wrong, you'll lose everything. The reason why you're finding yourself being spent and burned out is because you're not putting your walk with God above everybody else in your life. The Lord said there is no other God before you. Not even people can be your God. You've got to seek the Lord and seek him first. And you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the anointing of God. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's overflowing. Somebody say flowing. The second word God gave me was flowing. I'm not a storage tank for the Holy Ghost. I'm a flowing vessel. A storage tank gets stagnant. A storage tank is all about itself. A storage tank is selfish. The only way this works is you seek God first, and he flows through you. You don't get enough and then take it and go get more. It's a wellspring of living water. It's endless. You tap it and it flows through us. And whenever you start to put God first, there's a never-ending stream of the anointing and the flow of the Holy Ghost. When you keep living, making sure God is first, there's a flow through you. People get the overflow of your walk with God. But you've said this, I've got to make money. No, I've got to have God. Some of y'all have money and you're dying. Because money's not going to solve the problems you have. The problems you have are right here and right here. And we'll tell you, listen to this, you'll make more money when you get this right and this right. If you're crazy, you're not going to make money. Crazy depressed people who can't think straight don't make money, don't start businesses, and they don't get promotions. If you want to make money, the Lord has a plan for you. Let him bless you with supernatural mind and supernatural thoughts. Let him put his wisdom and favor on your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. It's not wrong to get yours first. It's not wrong to say, hey, hold my child. Hold this. Watch my purse. I've got to get what I got to get. Hey, I don't care what anybody says. You're right for doing it. If you need more of it, then go get it. If it takes you 3 years, then take 3 years. But get what you need. We let people guilt trip us. We let people tell, are you a Christian? You'd help. You're exactly right. If I was a Christian, I could. But that's why I need to go pray. Because I'm not much of a Christian right now. There's nothing wrong with you admitting and humbling yourself and saying, I don't think I can. I got a bad attitude. Now, I'm not saying spend the next 3 years delaying. I'm saying run into a prayer room and get it right. I'm saying seek first God. Get into that place of fasting and say, Lord, I don't have a lot of time. My neighbor needs me. Come on, the refrigerator just went off in the power. I need to go over there and do something. But if you don't have it yourself, you can't help them. You've got to prioritize yourself. You've got to walk with the Lord and make sure you're healthy and you're right and you're good, because people are pulling from you, making you feel guilty, and you're struggling. I'm telling you, the reason why some of you have no joy is because you're spent and burned out, because you feel like everyone needs me. I'm telling you, and the devil has used it to depress you and frustrate you, and you wonder where God is in your life and where's the blessing and the surplus. It's not going to happen until you put God first and make sure that you got what you need in God and you've got the joy of the Holy Ghost every day when you wake up. It's okay for you to lock the door. How many times did Jesus go off the mountain alone? You know what that means? Leave me alone. Y'all know they chased him, right? But he was good at disappearing. Here's a miracle we've never heard about. Jesus disappeared a lot of times. Some of y'all need that miracle to operate in your life. You need the miracle of disappearing. Sometimes you need to get away from the crowds and get alone with Jesus, and you need to make sure your mind is right, because you cannot function in the valley what you do not get downloaded in the mountaintops. You've got to get away to the mountain and say, Father, get me close to you. Let me get what you need so that I can go back down. You live in the valley. You visit the mountaintops, but everybody needs their time. If you would spend time with the Lord, your marriage would improve, because you'd be able to finally give something away to your spouse. You think that you're not perfect enough. God is. How many of your spouses are like, you're just never going to be good enough? You say, you're right. Then I'm going to go pray. Because I'm not ever going to be good enough, and you're not ever going to be good enough for me. So let's go pray. Let's get God's glory in our lives. Let's get his spirit. Let's get his nature. You're right. I'll never be enough for you. That's why you've got to make sure I've got a diet of walking with Jesus. Spark somebody's faith to put God first. But you know what? I wonder how many neighbors are so selfish that they'll be like, no, I need you now. You're not a Christian. You don't put me first. If you want to help homeless people, get out of debt yourself before you end up homeless too. But you're getting guilt tripped by people when you hadn't even once budgeted your checkbook. You cannot save this world if you won't get yourself right. We've had people give us guilt trips all the time. Always. We're all in the hole together. When will someone say, I got to get out? Look, here's how God works. He'll take you out for a season and then send you back. Moses got out, but didn't stay out. He only got out enough to be blessed, anointed, and get a call of God. And then God sent him back. God don't want you out forever. God wants you out long enough to get what you need, to go back in and have power and authority, deliverance, help for your loved ones. And God will take you through a wilderness season, and you will be alone. And you hate it. Thank you for saying amen to it, because we hate it. That's why you got to do what she did, hype it up. That season is so tough. You're alone and you think God's against you, but that's where God trains you to get what you need. You see, you would have never picked a wilderness season. That's why the Lord's going to lead you into one.
It's in the wilderness you learn you get more power being alone with God than being with the people. I'm going to tell you what's more powerful than a prayer meeting with the church. A prayer meeting by yourself before the prayer meeting with the church. I like how in John 3, they had miracles before prayer meetings, not after. You see, we think we have to pray first and then see miracles. They stay in prayer. They walk with the Lord on the daily. You see, what the Bible doesn't tell you is the times they were alone praying before they even walked to the temple in the morning. And so they had a walk with God that preceded publicity. They had a walk with God that was going on behind the scenes in secret before they ever got around lame people, homeless people, broken people. What has God given you before you even walked out the door? Because you can't give a thing away until you receive it. Wake up in the morning and see I'm empty. I'm empty without the Lord. I'm empty without a walk with Him. I'm empty without His word in my heart. I'm empty without a prayer time. I'm empty. I can't help anybody. I want to, but I can't. And you don't even know how to love people if you're not alone with God. If you can't be intimate with God and you can't have prayer and you can't be alone and let Him serve you, then you can't serve someone else. Remember when Peter said, I don't want you washing my feet to Jesus? And Jesus said, you'll have no part in my kingdom if you don't let me wash you. Some of you, and you know what I felt the Lord say? My wife told me this last night. She had a crick in her neck. Carl and Andrew came over to the house, and she's been complaining about it all day. I rubbed a little bit, but it must not have been good enough because it was still hurting. But then I'm in the office studying, and I hear loud noises in the living room. Carla is apparently attacking my wife in the back of her shoulder, trying to deliver her from the crick in the neck. And it worked. She said she's like, I don't know, 80% better or something. So whatever you did, whatever jujitsu you was doing up in there, it must have helped her, okay? So I was like, well, I'm so glad she did that. I was so thankful because I know it was a pain. I know about neck pains because of my injury. And I was like, man, I'm so glad you're feeling better. That's a relief to me. She said, I just hate asking. I want it, but I hate asking. And that's a confirmation right there. That's the spirit we're fighting right now. I hate asking. How many times my phone not rung and this is what you said? You said, I thought you were busy. No, you hate asking. You have so much pride that you don't mind helping somebody, but you won't let nobody help you. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get burned out. I'm going to tell you why pastors burned out. They didn't have one. I'm going to tell you, our ministry gets burned out. They didn't have anybody pouring into them. This thing flows, y'all. It flows. You got to get around the flow. You got to let the flow go through you. You can't just hold this stuff and store it. You've got to let it flow through you. In and out, in and out. You get it, you give it away. You get it, it's like money. You get it, you give it away. It's like serving. You get the help, you give it away. It's like miracles. You get them and you give them away. You make room for more. You eat all day and don't move, you get fat. How'd that lady say it during COVID, that social media viral? Just get fat and sassy. Did y'all see that video? She says, I'm just sitting around cooking, eating, making cookies, just getting fat and sassy. That was a viral video that went around. It was played it on repeat, laughed, because that's what we were doing during COVID. All of us were just eating. That's what happens whenever you have no flow, is when you don't have something going out, it goes both ways, right? All you do is pray, but you don't serve, you see? Then you just get nice and fat. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you have food without fight, you get fat. And there's a lot of Christians out there spiritually fat because they get preaching but do nothing with it. You take in all the time but never give out. That's why it's a flow. That's why it's in and out. The way you maintain balance is you take and you give. You take and you give. But we've got it out of balance in the kingdom of God. We're getting so burned out because we don't have a download. The Lord sent me here to tell you today. It's this simple. We're going to close in just a minute. The Lord sent me to tell you, you're running on empty. And the reason why you're frustrated and mad, and the reason why you're barking at the kids, and the reason why you're mad at your boss, and the reason you're frustrated is because there's nothing to give. You see problems, but you have nothing to give. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power to fix it. I go to church, I wear the clothes, but I don't have any power left in me. You know that's satanic? The form of godliness, but no power. Even he appears as an angel of light, but he can't do anything to help. See, Satan comes up with ideas on how to help things, but he has no power to do anything. He's like, you know, you should eat that tree. That'd be good for you. He doesn't know what he's doing. If you don't walk with God, you'll try to help people. You might even think it's truth, and you'll curse them. Because Satan walks around trying to help folks, doesn't he? You should do that. It'd be good for you. Eat that tree. I care about you. You can't help anybody. You're so far from God. There's a lot of politicians, a lot of political people in our world that think they're helping America. But they have no power. They have no purity. They have no walk with God. And they claim that they care. They're climate activists. They say because they love us, we got to turn the tornadoes around and stop the hurricanes and bomb them. The things they're trying to do to change weather, fix the weather, get rid of, you know, cars and all that stuff. My Bible tells me the earth shall burn with a fervent heat. Global warming is very real. The Bible predicted a long time ago. This earth will burn, and I'm glad they're finding out it's getting hotter. Maybe they'll repent. I'm not getting rid of my spray cans. I'm repenting. You ain't gonna stop it. Why did I go down that road? I don't know. All I know is the Holy Ghost came here to tell you it's time to get what you need. It's time for you to pause everything else, put up your cookbook, put up the laundry, and say, I got to get right with God. I'm burned out. I'm at the bottom. It's not wrong for you to tell someone. Now, if someone tells you they need more of God and you don't let them get more of God, that's very abusive. That's called spiritual abuse. When you got a member of your family that's desperate for God and you're holding them back or tending them not to or not helping assist them, that is spiritual abuse. You are depriving them of something they need to live. It's like starving somebody. You hear me? It's like starving somebody. If you love people, if you really love me, you'll let me find God. You'll let me eat. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost sent me to tell y'all, you shouldn't be this hurt. You shouldn't be this broken. You shouldn't be this burned out. Here's how you know. You're cranky. You're on edge. You got all these problems and bills and life and people calling you, but you don't know what to do. And you need to humble yourself and tell all those bills and all those problems and all that that I need to get alone with God, because I don't have the power to do this, but He does. And you escape miraculously from all the hustle and bustle, and you go to your mountaintop and you stay there until you get a word from God. And you bring that miraculous word from God back down to your problems. And you speak to your problems. I think that's interesting how the Bible says that we can speak to our mountains. That's the very place Jesus went to pray. What you pray on top of, you can speak to. Amen. Climb it, declare it, take authority over it, and then you can speak to it and it'll leave you alone. Let me give you some practical advice as we're close right now. Your money problems. God could tell you what to do in prayer. Brother, start a business. Here's how you're going to do it. Just like he told Noah to build an ark. He could tell somebody to build a business and make a lot of money. But you don't spend time on the mountain. You complain in the valley. You don't spend time in the mountain. Or you complain to other members of the church about all your problems. They can't help you. You complaining about all your God problems to other people in the church, they cannot help you. They can pray for you, but they cannot change it. Sometimes the best advice I ever give somebody is, why don't you get in the mountain today? I'll take care of your stuff. Go ahead. Remember when Abraham and Isaac, he said, hold my mule. Take care of my stuff. I got to go. Look, sometimes the best thing you do for somebody is say, I'll watch your stuff. Go. Sometimes the best gift you'll ever give somebody is, whatever I can do to help you get alone with God and get what you need, I'm here for you. Because I know there's nothing to give unless God gives it to you. I don't know who this is for today, but you're feeling like you're at your edge. You feel like you don't have a whole lot left. You're spent. How long has it been since you've been a receiver? How long has it been since you sat there and let Jesus wash your feet?
You spend all your time washing everybody else's, and you're running out of steam. Jesus was teaching Peter a principle on that day. You'll never wash good enough until I teach you how. You know, some of the things I've preached and I've ministered in, my pastor gave me. When you're in prayer, now I'm free to get more. It's the will of God for us to have a steady diet of I love you, but I don't have much to give yet. Let me get close to God. And when I get done hearing from heaven, how many times did David go to prayer and say, should we fight or should we not? I imagine they're all waiting outside the throne room for him to answer. But our lives depend on this prayer meeting. You're going to have to back off for a second and give me a moment, because if I don't hear from God, our whole future is over. I imagine when they're standing on the outside of the throne room saying, guys, we got to go. The enemy's coming. David, be quiet. I need to hear from the only one that matters. I will not fight unless God says fight. Why y'all arguing so much? You need God to speak. After how many arguments will you go through before you realize you need God's help in your arguments? If God's not speaking, don't talk. If God's not giving direction, don't do it. There's nothing wrong with pausing. The Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The longer you sit there in God's presence, the stronger you get for the fight that's before you. I'm going to tell you why the Lord downloaded the Spirit into this place today. He was trying to go before this word and let you know He desires to give you what you need. Whatever you're facing today that's becoming unbearable, whatever's happening in your house, there's a mountaintop that you can visit today, that you can worship on today. And God can give you a word for every drug addict family member that you have. God can give you something to get all of your family out of debt one day. But if you don't figure it out for you, how could you help someone else? The last time I ministered about this, I talked to you about riding on an airplane, how when they give you the instructions that we usually ignore, there's one thing that stood out to me. The one time I did listen, the first time I flew, I listened because I didn't want to die. And they were giving me instructions, and they said, this mask may fall down if we lose cabin pressure. And I thought this was strange from the very beginning when I heard it. It's always stuck with me. It's helped me so much. But they say this, before you put the mask on anybody else, put the mask on yourself. You cannot help anybody else if you lose your air. And I can just imagine some frantic mom who loves her children, scrambling with no air herself, panicking because she can't breathe, trying to get the air on her children, and passing out. And you know who follows the mom that passes out? The babies do. Pastor, I love my kids. That's why I work so hard. If you loved your kids, you'd pray more and stop working so hard. If you love people, you would seek the Lord so that you could help people. Don't tell me you have a burden for this city if you don't love God. Don't tell me you really love your spouse and want to do what's best for them. If you can't put God first, you can't love them. My wife thinks I'm an amazing husband whenever I'm walking with the Lord the right way. My kids think I'm a great dad whenever I'm walking with the Lord the right way. It's not, as I say, it's not wrong to get mine. You need that time with Jesus. It is so necessary. It wouldn't be wrong in your family every now and then to ask this accountability question. You seem upset. I can't fix you. I encourage you, spend some time on the mountain today. Who's going to say it to you? Who else is going to say it to you? What are we going to do, argue, fight, threaten? That's not going to change the spirit of things. Every now and then, you just need to look at your accountability of your family and say, I can tell you're not right. How long has it been since the Lord's blessed you? How long has it been since you've received from the Lord? That's the answer, y'all. seeking God first and loving Him first. And how do you love God anyway? You let Him serve you, bless you, and give to you. How do you love God? Love means to give. How do you give to God? You give Him your heart. You give Him your ear. You give Him your attention. You give Him your feet. You say, excuse me, I'm going to go get washed. And boy, when you get done with that good Holy Ghost shower, you walk out there to your family and you got a brand new illuminated countenance. You've got a smile on your face and peace in your heart. And you're like, let's go. I got it. I got a word from God. We can fix anything. We can solve any problem. Half of the battles are us not being right with God. If I'm preaching to you, I want you to come to the front today. We're going to close together. I'm preaching to myself. Guest, you can stand to your feet. Let's stand around this front. We're going to lift up our hands, and God is going to help you get yours. If you're struggling right now, you might have to say, hey, somebody, help my kid. Stand by me. Help my kid. I got to just whisper to somebody. I feel burned out. I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I've got an attitude. I feel like I can't do this. I can't make it. Everybody's trying to get my help. I don't even know what to say to them. I'm telling you the answers. You're responsible for people, but you're broken and you're hurting. The answer is, Lord, it's not wrong to get mine. Today, I'm giving you a guilt-free pass to forget about everybody else in this world and focus your eyes on Jesus. I'm giving you a guilt-free pass from the responsibilities of being the man, the woman, the home, or the children, and just say, just for a moment, me and you, I got to get right, God. And here's what I'm believing is going to happen. God is going to download a vision, a dream, a word that you're going to take home with you. And you're going to apply it to your job, your finances, your health. While you're worshiping God, I'm telling you what's going to happen. God's going to give you a word. This is how it always works. You worship God, He gives you a word. And that word you'll take to your neighbors. You'll take to your loved ones. And you'll use it. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to get so addicted to God's presence because of the fruit that comes from being alone with Him. You're going to want to be alone again tomorrow. And then you're going to give it away, Dante. If you got nothing to give, you have no prayer. If you've got nothing to give, you have no alone time. I'm telling you, if you have nothing to give, you got to get alone. And say, Jesus, I need you. I worship you. Watch what happens after you get done doing what I'm telling you. You're going to feel led like we do in church to reach over and pray for somebody. How many times have we sought God for ourselves and ended up blessing somebody else? Because when you seek God and put Him first, He gives you things to minister to everybody else around you. So let's not be wrong right now, and let's be righteous and lift up our hands, and let's tell God, God, let's cry it out, let tears flow. God, I need you. I know it's not wrong for me to get what I need. God, you see my tears and you see the weight and you see the battle. You see the responsibility on me as the man of the home. God, you see everything that I'm supposed to do and perform and be, but I don't know how. I feel overwhelmed with my children. How could I ever be good enough for anybody? Everybody's asking me for rescue mom and dad and cousins and brothers and sisters. I don't know what to do. I need to worship you and you alone. And I know that in your presence, you're going to give me a word of action. You're going to give me a word of direction. You're going to give me a dream. You're going to give me a vision. You're going to give me an answer, and you're going to give me some Ten Commandments to walk down that mountain to help those people. You're going to give me something, a revelation, a new name. You're going to give me something that's going to change the destiny of my family. But I will not get this serving other people. I will get this serving you. I will get this sitting at your table. I will get this sitting at your feet. I'll get this in your presence, in your word, in the Bible study. Come on, you want to help people. I know you do, but you're lacking ability. Not because you don't want to, because you've got nothing left in the tank. When your wife says, I need time, you give her time. When your husband says, I need time, give him time. When your kids say, I need a break, give them a break. Let them walk with the Lord until they get the power.
Your insecurity comes from your lack of time being downloaded, God's Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. I'm not questioning your devotion to the church. I'm not questioning your love for your neighbors. I'm telling you, you cannot do what God has placed in your heart unless you learn to put Him first, and you learn to get the Holy Ghost every day, and you learn to speak in tongues every day, and you learn to be full of the joy. You're so smart, but you can't help people. You're so wise, and you've got such giftings, but you really can't bless anybody because you're spent and you're tired and you're weary. You're not loving God when you abuse yourself. You're not loving God when you have lack of sleep. You're not really loving God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. Come on, we're not going to keep you long today. All across this place, lift up your hands and surrender to the Lord. And just let some tears roll out.